for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2005 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, January the 1st, 2006. The speaker of the morning is Don Andrews, speaking on Entering into His Rest.
Children, do you not know that when you come into my presence, that I will heal thee? I will heal thee of your diseases. I will heal thee of your broken hearts. I will heal thee of everything that stands in the way between you and me. But I would say to you, you must come into my presence. But you would say back to me, Lord, I don't know how to come into your presence. Lord, I don't know how to worship you. Lord, my worship is so inadequate. Who told you these things? You did not hear them from me. You did not hear them from me. But I would say to you to draw ever so close to me. Draw ever so close to me. Seek my face. Read my word. Spend time in my presence. Spend time in my presence, and I will lead you into deeper ways of worshiping me. I will lead you into higher praises of my name. For you see, I am a God that am jealous of you. I am a God who desires that my children would just come and spend time with me, would just pour out their hearts to me, would just lean on me and let me touch them and let me move in their lives and in their behalf. But I would say unto you, your stubbornness and your rebellion and you're wanting your own way, and your witchcraft has kept you from entering into that place that I would desire for you to be. Because there is a place in me that you've never reached. There is a place in me that you've never seen. There is a presence of mine that you've never felt. And I desire to share those things with you. But I would say unto you that you must become intimate with me. Children are born of intimate relationships, and I want you fully born. I don't want you to be prematurely born. I don't want you to be born with birth defects. I want you fully born and born into the kingdom of God, that you can go forth as a temple of righteousness, because I want to dwell in you. And I am a holy God, but I desire, oh, I desire your undivided attention. So I would say to you this day, I am pleased with what you are doing, but there is so much more that you have never seen, that you have never witnessed, so many miracles that you've not been a part of. But I would say unto you in the last days, that as we walk forth, that you must walk close to me, because deception will come upon you if you do not. And lay aside the ways that you've always worshipped me in the past. Lay aside to sing the three songs. Lay aside this and lay aside that. But just come. Just come. Just come unto me. Many times my presence is nothing but stillness. Just waiting, waiting, waiting for my children to just come and say, I love you. Because your arms are outstretched. Your arms are there waiting for us just to climb up in and let you envelop us with your love. But I would say to you, children, 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 You must come. You must come. You must come. I don't desire great things from you. I only desire that you come and worship in my presence and just spend time with me and just be in me. Because the greater one dwells in you and he desires to do greater things than what you have ever seen. He desires to do greater miracles than what we've ever witnessed. But we must come to him. We must come to him just as we are. O Lamb of God, we come to you. We come to you, Lamb of God. God, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have been too busy with our own agendas. We've been too busy doing our own thing and doing it our way. Lord, we ask your forgiveness. Lord, teach us. Teach us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Lord, help us to be pliable in your hands. Help us to get on that potter's wheel and let you mold us. And Lord, if you have to pick us up and throw us back on there again, pick us up and throw us on, that we can become vessels of honor, filled with power, filled with your glory, to go forth and do a work in the earth, anointed to bring the good tidings, to tell the world about Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that you will guide us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. Guide us. But first, we must come into your presence.
Yes.
In your presence.
Yes.
And I've had a news flash this morning. This reporter hasn't had time to investigate it. But I feel the Lord wants me just to share what he gave me this morning. He has called us to be his bride. Mm-hmm. And we have all been unfaithful. This is not a flash of condemnation. But I believe the Lord wants us to break the curse of divorce off of the body of Christ this morning.
Amen.
Because we have been divorced from him. I'm just laying this out. The Lord's given it. I know the Lord has given it. I haven't had time to study it. I'm sure there's scriptures that will bring it into perspective. But Father, right now,
yes,
I just desire to be obedient to your voice.
Amen.
Lord, I lift up the sins that go back all the way to Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Lord, when their sin separated them and us,
yes,
from you,
yes,
they divorced themselves.
Yes.
They chose to walk away. They chose to disbelieve. And Lord, your word says, if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. But God, we just lift up the sins, Lord Jesus, that brought about that divorce from you, from your presence. From your presence, Lord God, that place that Jane was speaking of earlier this morning, a place in him that he wants to take us all, that place in him that none of us has ever attained or reached yet, but it's there, it's in the bosom of the Father. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, I stand in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I apply and I appropriate his blood. I apply and I appropriate the provision of Calvary. I apply and appropriate the hanging on the tree that he bore the curse for us. And we break the curse of divorce. His truth is marching on, and we break the curse of divorce off of each and every life here. We break it off of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, and we command every spirit of divorce, we command every spirit of divorce to come out and to be broken, to loose us, to loose us, to loose us in the name of Jesus, that we might come in and become the bride that you have designed and purposed for us to be. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Dan is done, somewhere supposed to bring us a word this morning. The pulpit is his if he's ready.
After this week, there doesn't seem like there's a whole lot more we can say about things, but there is. God's kind of endless with those things. I'm going to try to talk with a higher voice so you can hear me better. I have a tendency to talk real low, especially when I start thinking. I just want to share with you something the Lord showed me in prayer. I didn't know if we were going to carry on this far or not, but I promised the Holy Spirit I'd say it if I shared. I was in prayer over there, this voice kind of come to me and said, it says, I hear the sound of pomegranates and bells in the temple once again. And And they showed me a picture of the temple. At first I was thinking Holy of Holies, and the Lord just showed me the temple. And he was saying that the sound can be heard all the way out of the temple, everywhere, everywhere. And he said, then he took me into the Holy of Holies to view who was in there, and there was a priest with everything on him. And he said, I'm taking the rope off the ankle. I've taken the rope off the ankle so that, because when you come into my presence now, you're not going to die from something that you did wrong, because I'm preparing you. And he showed me this priest who was dancing around in there, and the glory of God was in there. And he said, this is my church. He said, I'm bringing my church into this place. This is that time. And I'm removing the rope of fear from their ankles so that when they enter in that they can worship me and my glory can fall, and I'm purifying them. And he showed me there was a progressive thing, that it wasn't like there's some that are in there and some are coming in there and there's other coming there, and those that are in there that intercede for those that are outside, they're all going to just keep coming in, and that church is just going to be dancing in the glory of God in the Holy of Holies, and without fear of anything, just total freedom. And the bells and the pomegranates are going to be heard everywhere outside the temple. Anyway, that would be enough, I think, anyway. But Lord, I just thank you for this time, and I thank you for honoring me with sharing your word. Most of the time I don't feel worthy, and I don't really feel up to it. When I haven't had a lot of preparation, I really don't feel up to it. But Lord, take me through this, and I'll try to be as open to you as I can and let you share as much as you can through me of what you've shown me in this. And I'm going to share on coming into his rest. Coming into his rest. And the first scripture I'm going to share with you is Genesis 2:2. Kevin says he has to do all these sniffles out of the thing. I got to remember to turn my head whenever I or quit. Anyway. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And going on to 3, he said, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. I'm reading in the NIV if it doesn't match. But what to me is God says in this, he created everything. He created his rest for us. He created rest for his kingdom on that day. It was all done, and he rested. And the thing that that's hitting me and that I want to go to is he's trying to bring us into that rest. He's trying to bring all of us into that rest so that we can operate fully in him, be receptive to his voice. I know there's a lot of death to the flesh lately, and entering into his rest is a lot of that. The place I'm going to kind of be sharing out of is Hebrews 4, 1 through 11. And I'm just going to go through that a little bit and share some stuff out of there. And about what I've seen in it. It says a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And back up here in Hebrews 2, he talked 3:7, it says, today if I hear your voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That's why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And he had created a rest for them. He created the promised land. He had actually, through Abraham and all of them, they had passed through it and passed through it and passed through it, and had never claimed it or made it theirs. They had never entered that rest even from then. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since the promise of entering in his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God had said in Genesis 2:2. And it goes on to say in that same verse, he says, so I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And he's talking about the children of Israel after they crossed the wilderness, and they had done all those things and had come up to it, and God never allowed them. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today. When a long time later he spoke through David, as he said before, in Psalms 95, 7 through 11, he says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And not Psalms 95, 7 through 11, is for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with the generation. I said, they are people whose hearts are gone astray or go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. So God's prepared a rest for us, and there's been generation upon generation upon church generation upon church generation that has never entered that rest, that has always complained, always seen the worst side of it, always fallen short, never has wanted to enter into his presence like that because of what we've been talking about, of death of ourselves, death of our desire, death of what we want. So he's preparing a people now. And what he was showing me is true. He's offering it to us. He's offering a new depth, a new presence, a new direction. He's longing for us to come into that rest. He created it. It's been existing in the heavenly since he created it in Genesis 2:2. It's been there just flowing like a river for us, just waiting for us to come into it. And he's waiting for us to recognize and have a longing in our heart for it. Because I know when the children of Israel were supposed to enter into the promised land, that 2.5 tribes decided not to enter his rest at all. They stayed on the other side and didn't even come over. And they thought that if they'd sent some people over with them to fight, that would be enough, that would enter the rest for them. But they never did. They never could claim the promises of that rest because they stayed on the other side of the river and didn't come in. When the other ones came in, instead of trusting God, and I know I look at the Doc's picture of control up there, and I see those places that the children of Israel were supposed to defeat when they came into the promised land. They had all those parts of it that had all of those Hittites, Amorites, parasites, all kinds of things up there. And he came in to destroy them and cleaned it out, and he's come to do the same for us. And if we're open enough, and there's a longing in our heart enough, and we don't get distracted, because you know the children of Israel, they got distracted by, and I same thing with the Hebrews or Jewish people, even down to the Pharisees, they got distracted by their life and who they are, by their pride and by what they had accumulated, by what they could have, by what was given to them, by allowing evil spirits in, by allowing the control of evil spirits and things like that. They missed all of it because of that. And because of that, they were blinded and that rest was taken from them. And it came all the way down through that, from all the times and kings that it was offered, all the cleansings that, you know, all those cleansings from all the kings that came through it. Solomon was one of them. He had such a perfect society and God had given him that rest for the first part of his life. But because as he aged and he got to looking around and thinking much of himself, he decided that he's special. And that's the other kind of deception we enter into. He thought because he was special that he could do things that normal men couldn't do, that he could partake of things that an everyday man, he was king. He was ruler of all this stuff. And I know a lot of men from my youth, and I've been in a Pentecostal church since I was probably 6 years old. And well, I had some breaks in between because of things that, you know, but I've seen men that have been offered much, and God has given him those places in him where they could rest in him and operate at full potential in the spirit out of him and enter into the Holy of Holies and those temple places. And they chose the other way. They chose the pressure of making a living, the pressure of a ministry that takes so much to finance, of a standing and status that was given to them because of God's hand normally touched them. They were given much, and all these things were even power of God. Even much power of God was given to them, and it flowed through them, and things happened. But as they progressed through it, they started listening, as we all know here that have had anything to do with voices, and and things outside, and the voices of men that lifted him up and exalted him and told him, oh, you're this, oh, you're that. And I know from my old pastor, he said, you know, if the enemy's got something in you, when he comes to get it, you're going to go with it. You know, he's got a hook in you if he comes to take it. So it's very true. When they leave that thing and they don't take care of it their whole life, it's hidden down there, and they're not resting in God. They're not resting in the cleansing and power that he's got. They've not come into that rest in him. They've still got to have something for themselves. You know, that was a sin that most all of the people ever came since the beginning of time, was they had to have something for themselves. I could have this for myself. And God, if we give our cry big enough, he's going to give us that thing, and that's going to be our rest. It's not going to be him, and it's not going to be the rest that he's given to us. So it says, and I think he's going to speak to his church, and I think he's speaking to his church. He's saying, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. And those that know the truth and know that God's touched should be interceding for those ones that aren't, that would break that thing in them, so that they can, their hardened hearts will be softened, and they can receive, and they can come into that, and their eyes will be open so that they can. I just see a spirit of intercession sweeping God's church that's never been there before, that people that would have never thought, and some of them don't even know they're doing it. They've never had a touch of intercession in their life before. They've never, and there'll be groanings and cries and things coming out of those out of them that they don't understand, and that God's wanting to do in them because he's breaking down powers and principalities and strongholds. We think our words have much power, but there's words in the heavenlies and sounds in the heavenlies that we have no idea of that can crush things and break things in the spiritual. And we have to allow God to do those sounds through us and to produce those heavenly sounds that break those things. He wants us to come into his rest, put it all on him. Allow him to be our peace and our joy. It's something that we don't strive for. Something he can operate totally out of us, out of. Then it says, if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. So if God has created all this, it's all been produced in the spiritual, it's all been lined out and has its boundaries and what is supposed to happen, we should be able to rest in that. We should be able to know that he's going to produce it, that he has done it. The only thing that I see in it is he has a people. And he has a people that's come and it's been offered in another people. And we can say, I've heard it said, and we can say, well, we all know, didn't God know this already? But at the same time, he's also given us free will to choose to do these things. Because if you don't do it, he's got somebody else that will say yes. If we don't enter into those places in him like that, then there's somebody else that'll say yes. So it would be good for us when he calls, when he says come and do it, when he says don't do it, when he says produce it, when he says cry out, when he says here's my cry and do it, or if he's not there and we want to do it anyway, I'd say that we had better check ourselves and start finding his resting place again and start entering to what he really has for us. Because when we started wandering out in those places, sometimes it's hard to get back. It's hard to get back because deception piles on deception and ego on ego and denial on denial and until faith in him, trust in him, longing for him, desire for the depth of him, pouring out everything that's in us to him. There's things that he's done in me that I would have sworn that I would say that I wouldn't go, because they were so ingrained in me. But I've learned over the last few years that whenever something is hard for me, I go do it. You know, I break that thing right on the spot because I've let him linger, and I can't rest in that then. I'm not entering into this rest. And after I harden my heart to one thing, then I harden my heart to another thing. And I say we, but I'm saying my, because I'm speaking from experience and I'm speaking from what I know. And after a while, we just can't find the Holy Spirit. We can say all the right stuff. We can say all the right prayers. We can, you know, like Brother Chris was talking about formulas. I mean, it winds up there a little bit. But at the same time, we might try a whole bunch of different things. But if we're not resting in His presence, if our heart is not knitted to His heart, if our mind is not being knitted to His mind, we're not going to. We can't rest in that. We can't, because we're too busy trying to produce something on our own. Says, let us, I think I don't read this or not, but I will again. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. So even David was back in Psalms, was telling them that, you know, let's come up into that same rest. And now Paul's telling them, you know, David couldn't get them in there. He couldn't bring them in there, and Solomon couldn't bring them in there. And they've been pursuing that rest ever since we can remember, if we look back in history. And he's saying, today is that day. Today is that day. And I think God is saying to His church that today is that day. I know for me, it's today is that day. And tomorrow's that day. And yesterday was that day. And the day after tomorrow is that day. And from what He showed me over there about His temple, I mean, I just can't. I was telling Dr. Noel the other day, he put this big yes in me. This big yes in me. So when he says something, I just automatically say yes. Yes. All right, I'm almost done. It says, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing is in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And I find that if I'm very transparent before God, and I know that He sees everything, it's amazing how He sees everything, and we still think we can hide things. And I've not felt so transparent as I have this week. I felt so unworthy and almost unable to function, you know, when somebody asked me a question, because I felt so revealed before God and so stripped of my own personal ability, which probably wasn't a lot, but I found over the years that I can cope. You know, I'm not a real forward person, and I've always been usually a quiet person, but I have done in myself that I can cope. I can go anywhere and do anything I have to do to hide myself. I can go anywhere and do anything I have to do to be me. I can do it. I can do it. I don't care how much it hurts. I don't care how much when I go home that I have to sit there and be in agony over the fact that I can do it. But I can do it. And there's so many people out here that can do it. And they can, a lot of them can get up and sound real good and preach real good and share the Lord really good and perform really well. But when they go home, it's still them. And God's looking for a people that'll just tear themselves open and say, take a look at me, Lord. Because He said, I see you anyway. Where do you think you're hiding? I see right down to the very marrow of your spirit, the very, very depths of your being. I see every little thing in you that I need to take care of, every little thing. Until, I'm just saying, that thing I saw over there, He's saying, till you let me take care of those, you're not going to be dancing in that place. You're not going to be in there. I'm not going to be in there. I'm not. Because till we let Him do the fullness of Himself in us, how can His glory come? How can we enter into the Holy of Holies? What are we going to stand afar and look in when these other people are standing in the glow and the presence of God is on them? Are we just going to stand? Because I know for a fact that if the presence of God is somebody, I can stand within a radius of them and it'll be on me. And I could probably fool myself and say, whoa, God's touching me. He's in the room. He touches everybody in the room. But is He there for just you in that glory? Are you a vessel that's worthy to be poured onto in that glory? Are you? You know, we have to go after that. We go after that, and then when we hear the pomegranates and bells, we know that He's pouring out on us. He's pouring out on us. And that's the one thing I know that He's for His church. He's coming for today is He's putting that longing in our heart for holiness, to come in and rest in Him. Coming and rest in Him. And resting in Him means I trust Him. When He comes to me and says, I'm going to take care of this in you. And I said, oh, really? And then He says, here, are you going to do it or not? And I said, I'm coming. I don't care what it does to me, I'm coming. Because I've learned that prolonging is much worse than coming in and putting my head on the chopping block and be the martyr that God called me to be. What are witnesses? What are witnesses? I'm just sharing you with the fact that what the Lord showed me last night, I had about no time at all, because it was like 1 o'clock or two before I got home, and then this morning trying to get up wasn't easy. But He's places so much in my heart, and so much of His kingdom, and so much of His glory is the warning to come. And I'm not saying this out of anything that I know or who I am or what I am, and I hope no amount of thinking that anybody that dinners that special, because we have a tendency in the body to think those places are, oh wow, you know, this person's been in the Holy of Holies, and I'm saying to them, if he did, you know, you'd know it without him saying it. You know, without him saying it. You know, God's glory changes us. We're no longer us anymore. We've been burnt down to nothing. And it's just him. We don't have a life anymore. I know when God called me, I used to do a lot of stuff. Everybody's, you know, I don't do anything anymore. I go to work because I have to. I make a living because I have to. I don't take joy in it. If I could not be there and God would do something else with me, I would go. But that's where he's placed me. So he's after us to be where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to be, and we're full time. Once we decide to go in there, we're full time. We haven't got other lives. We're full time. If we want to enter that rest, we're full time. We live there full time. We pray there full time. We intercede there full time. We do the works that Jesus does. We're him in that position. We're him. And so whenever he comes and the Holy Spirit wants to do Jesus through us, then we have to be available. We have to be ready to say, I'll go. And I don't mean get up and go someplace. I mean go into the Spirit with him and do what has to be done. And we're too busy thinking we have to be there to change it. That's just our ego. We don't have to be anywhere to change it. To be anywhere to change it. Lord, I just thank you for allowing me to share this. I know it wasn't much, and it wasn't very long, Lord, but it's my heart. And I thank you for showing me what you showed me a while ago. I just praise you for that. I just say, Lord, right now in this room, I pray over everyone, and my heart cries out the faith that it takes to enter into your rest, Lord. The faith and presence of mind for the Holy Spirit to enter into your rest. And I just send it out to everyone in this room. Not from me, but from you. Not from me, but from you. But through me, if you'll allow, Lord. Touch everyone here and let your faith grow in them. Let them change. Let them desire to enter into this place where they can enter into the fullness of what you have for us. That we'll all be in your fullness. We change the world through you. Not through ourselves or our ministry or anything that we can do, but we change the world through the power of God in us and through us to carry out your purposes in this earth. I just thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you for your presence this whole week, Lord. And I thank you for shattering us, Lord, and putting us back to you. I just feel like I was telling Dr. Noel that we're having a molecular atomic change in our bodies. I just thank you for shattering us and then putting us back together, and we're becoming heavenly people. I just feel it. We're not like almost flesh and blood anymore. We've got heavenly molecules mixed in with us now and heavenly atoms mixed in with us now. And so we're becoming. We're becoming, and he wants to bring us into the fullness of that. I just thank you and praise you. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Entering into his rest. Just before Brother Don came, and to me, what he had to say is very much tied into what Patty came forth with, and God gave me some things. So I want to just share these few things with you. You can write them down. I'm not expecting them to be on tape or anything, but I'm going to give my notes to Patty and let her go on with it, because I really feel that it was a very important word. The word divorce means to be separated from somebody. And when you are separated from God, you cannot enter into his rest. And what God gave me was what we had been taught all week long about the spirit of idolatry, which is the reason why we don't enter into his rest, which is the reason why that God feel that God is saying that there is a spirit of divorce, a spirit of separation over the church. We come into the presence of the Lord, and we it's kind of like Dale was telling us at the Thanksgiving camp. It's like we are worshiping the tradition of worshiping God instead of worshiping God and getting to know who God is and his ways and his characters. It's like being married to somebody and everything is starting to happen. You don't feel the way you used to feel, but you get up in the morning, you cook the breakfast, you put it before him or him or her, and everything is by just, you know, you're just doing it. You've already, your mind has already shut down. You're not doing it because you want to do it. You're not trying to cook the eggs a little bit different. You're not trying to stoke the fire to keep the love going in it. You're just doing it for sake of doing it. And you haven't realized that you've already divorced yourself from the Lord. You've already divorced yourself from this individual. And God is saying that we have divorced ourselves from him. You're coming in. Now, of course, I'm not talking about everybody, but it is over the body of Christ. And if you travel outside of your church where maybe the Lord is really moving, you will see in the churches that people come and they never enter into the place we entered in today. They never get that far. And the place that we got is not even as far as we're going to go. So, I mean, if they haven't even got that far, then they are separated. They are divorced from God and they don't know it. So what I got was idols, which would be jobs, children, events, parents, church work. I'm doing all these good things for God. It's church work. And you let it take the place of being in the presence of God. You don't get in the presence of God. I heard the word mind control. Mind control. I heard mind blinding spirits. You're blinded to the fact that you are separated and you haven't even entered into his rest. You're just going around. You know, the blinders on the horse, they look neither to the right nor to the left. They just kind of look straight ahead and you whop them and they know what to do and they do it. Mind blocking spirits, those spirits that block you so that even when a person brings the word to you and it's a right word, you just like, oh, well, hi, praise the Lord. And you go on doing what it was that you were doing before. Mind blocking, mind binding, and mind control spirits. The good soul tie breaker, and that is rooted in a spirit of pride. There is this good soul tie breaker. There is ungodly soul ties, and we have great lessons on that by Doc and other people that teach us on soul ties. Well, there is a good soul tie breaker. The good soul tie breaker is almost like a familiar spirit operating to make sure that anybody that comes in your life that's good for you, and it operates in a person's life so that you'll find people that have been divorced 2, 3, 4 times. It's called a good soul tiebreaker. Deception also works with all of these other spirits, especially mind control, mind binding, mind blocking spirits, deception, good soul tie breaker, and they all operate out of that spirit of pride and control and hard-heartedness. When you hear the word, and that word, you've been separated from God, divorced from God, and you're just still sitting there and you don't begin to weep and things don't begin to snap off you because it's the very smallest thing. I mean, I've got to repent because I've put in so much time doing works for the community. I got to back off in 206. Because it's not all about the community. It's not all about me. It's not all about Phoebe. It's about God, because he gave that to me in the first place. So I ain't no sitting getting that busy that I'm going to get out busy God. Okay, so then that hard-heartedness comes because people are pummeling you all the time and they're, you know, pushing you and trying to make you do things that you know that you shouldn't do. And then so when the Holy Ghost comes, your guard is up. and he's telling to tell you to do something, but your pride won't let him speak to you because you have gotten blocked in and you're so busy fighting. And why are you fighting when you, because you have not entered the rest. You've not laid everything down so that God himself can do your battle for you. And now you're separated from God. So, in order for us to enter into his rest, just as Don has said, and just as Patty said, those things just really dovetailed in my mind, is to look up the word divorce in Webster's Dictionary and just pray in tongues as you read that explanation of divorce. And then even as we pray for ourselves and we pray for our families, break the curse of divorce, break the curse of separation, break that curse of the good soul tiebreaker so that we can enter into God's rest. Learn to just lay out on him and let him handle all of our stuff and all of our things, because that's what he wants to do anyway. He's really very good at it. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Happy New Year.
I want your glory, Lord, more than anything else. I want your glory.
This is the end of this. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.